Hi everyone, welcome to Rooted Reflections. This is a podcast and I'm one of your hosts, Hannah.
And I'm Anna.
And we just wanted to start this podcast because we felt like God laid it on our hearts to put this out there and just go over some different things that just contribute to being rooted in Christ. And before we get into any specific podcast content, Anna and I thought it would be cool to just share our testimonies for the first couple episodes. So today, Anna has volunteered to share her testimony. So, is there anything that you want to add about the podcast before we jump in to your
No,
testimony?
I think you got it.
Why do you want to do the podcast?
Yeah, to encourage others to grow and learn and set an environment where people can listen, and eventually, hopefully, watch and know that it's okay if you don't know everything and that we can learn together and I think that's why I want to.
Yeah, and I think I said this earlier, but podcasts just are really popping right now. I feel like a lot of people aren't listening to music as much anymore. I mean, obviously people still listen to music, but like I know I have times where I don't really want to listen to music. I just feel like I want to like deep dive into stuff. So podcasts are a good resource for that. And there's a lot of good podcasts right now. Like Spoken Gospel is one of my favorites. And I know you like the Bible Project. So we just wanted to encourage others and encourage each other in this as we grow in our walks. So we just want to help others and maybe start with this podcast. And yeah, hopefully we'll be able to record and see what God would have in store going along with that. So I guess we'll start with you and your testimony then. So why don't you share a little bit about your background?
Yeah, so for my family, it was like we'll go to Easter services every now and then, and I did a little bit of a Awana, and that was pretty much it until middle school. I went in like the summer times, and it was pretty cool. There was games, and the worship was awesome. So it was just pretty much just fun for me at that time, more than being saved or anything. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
So when you were younger, you don't remember like getting saved or anything. You just went, thought it was
No,
fun.
it was just more for fun and yeah.
Okay.
No, I definitely wasn't saved.
Okay.
I guess we could start like so I was dealing with a lot of depression and like I didn't know where I belonged. I was drinking and partying in high school. I think it was 10th grade. There was a lot of that going on, and then I was bi, so there was a lot of confusion going on in my brain and in my like my life was just not going in a good direction. I had a lot of depression, panic attacks, and that ended up leading me into the psych ward. And I went to the psych ward. I was in there for about like a week. And then once I got out, like I go back to school, and a week went by, and then I had seen someone's Snapchat of their Sunday service, and it was super cool. The music was like a hoedown, and they were just having a great time. I'm like, this looks awesome. I need some type of joy, and they look pretty joyful, so I'm gonna check it out. And I swiped up and was like, hey, I would love to come. She's like, you should come this Wednesday to the youth. And I was like, okay, I'll be there. And then I show up, she's not there. I'm like, I'm leaving. And just as I was about to leave, somebody caught me and was like, hey, the youth is in the basement. I can walk you down there. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I get down there and I told the youth pastors. I was like, my friend's not here, so I'm actually gonna get going. And they were like, it's okay. She doesn't have to be here for you to have fun and like to hang out. I'm like, okay, all right. And yeah, I just got hooked. Ever since then, of like just going to church. But when I got saved was maybe so from the time that I got out of the psych ward to the time that I got saved was probably like, I would estimate like a week or two. And I guess the first realization of God is real. This isn't like, I don't know, the thought before you get saved is like, there is no God. But I know that, like, looking at the universe and stuff, like, you can't fathom there not being a God. So that was kind of my mindset. And then I remember just sitting there in church and, like, realizing that God is real and Jesus died for my sins. And I'm in trouble. Like, I'm heading towards hell if I don't submit my life to Christ. And I was like, okay.
So what about church had you going back?
I guess the peace that I felt, like, just walking in. And then the people were just, like, so joy-filled and genuine. Like, they were so happy with life. Like, it was just such a difference because I was not.
Mm-hmm.
And I was searching for joy, something to, like, fill whatever was broken. And I think seeing people, like, be so happy and just have a good time and praise God, like, I've never seen it like that before. So, yeah, I think that's what got me hooked. And the feeling of comfort.
So you said that you didn't believe in God before that, right?
I didn't believe in God, like in Jesus in particular, but I also couldn't fathom. I knew it had to be something, because you can't just like look at the universe and the galaxies and think. I knew something was reigning over it.
So walk me through when you were like, okay, maybe this is legit. Like, maybe there is a God.
I guess, so what I know now would be the Holy Spirit. And I could feel him, like, softening my heart. So it was like a couple times in church, maybe like 2 Sundays and 2 Wednesdays. And I felt the Holy Spirit, like, soften me and, like, show me, like, through the other people actually living Christ, like, and I could see that reflected. And I'm like, I know these people aren't making this up. Because mm-hmm. It's got to be real. I mean, like, I can feel the presence. It was undeniable. Every service, I could feel him. It was like he was there, just like rushing through the room. And I was like, I can't deny this feeling of these people are worshiping something. And there's a legit spirit mm-hmm. in the room. Like you can feel the presence of peace and joy. And I guess just realizing, you know, I was sitting there and I looked through the stained glass windows and, like, I remember before everything was so dark, like white and black. And then I just remember seeing the stained glass windows, like the light coming through. And I'm like, now that I know, I believe it was the Holy Spirit in, like, giving me this enlightenment of Jesus is totally real. I felt his presence. And like, I feel like it was in that moment I surrendered, because I was like, okay, I'm done living for the world. I'm going to live for you. Like,
mm-hmm.
You this like is so much in. Better. What is it?
You were like locked in.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Once I, like, the Holy Spirit just like came over me and I could feel him. I'm like, yeah, he's real. I can't deny this presence that I'm feeling. And so I just was like, Lord, I accept you. in, because I didn't really even know the prayer to say, but I just welcomed him in. So mm-hmm. that would be the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just welcomed him. I'm like, you are Lord, and I know it. Like, yeah. There's just no denying this feeling. It's not fake. And, yeah. So that's the moment that I had the feeling.
Well, I think, too, a lot of the times, I think in Christianity today, when we're trying to, like, evangelize
mm-hmm.
and we're trying to lead others to Christ, I think we do put this pressure on the prayer. It's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the whole ABCs thing and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think because of that, I think a lot of people do start to question, which I know that kind of gets into my testimony.
Because I didn't say the certain prayer.
But when we look back in the Bible, there's so many things in the New Testament, like where so many of them didn't even say that specific prayer, you know,
mm-hmm.
but like Jesus knew their hearts and was like,
yeah,
like freed them.
I think one passage says about like, you believe in the Father and you believe that he sent me, like mm-hmm. before he died.
I mean, yeah. And then it does say like in Romans 10:9-10, like the confession like made with 100%, your mouth.
Yeah.
But I think we sometimes can think of it like in this one specific moment where you mm-hmm. have to say like these A, B, C, C's of it. And it's like, I think for some people, it can be a little bit gradual,
mm-hmm.
you know, like maybe you believe before you actually confess it. So maybe it's not in that specific.
Yeah. And that's what I agree with that, because that was just more of my enlightenment.
Like where your eyes were opened to going.
Yeah.
Okay. But this is true.
He was definitely softening my heart, and I just wasn't led in a prayer. So I think a lot of times people are like, am I saved? Because I didn't say this prayer. Right. But did you repent?
Right.
And do you believe? Like,
well, he knows your heart too.
You know? So I kind of did that without realizing the right words to say.
Yeah.
But definitely.
Think about the thief on the cross, though.
Right.
Yeah. Right. He didn't say, hey, you know,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, it's not recorded, at least, you know.
Right.
Hey, I'm sorry for all these things that I did. He just said, remember me.
Yeah, as if Jesus knew his heart, like, oh, this is.
Which I feel like that in itself is him acknowledging that he's a Christ.
Mm.
He's like, hey, remember me when you go into your kingdom. And then mm-hmm. Jesus says, well, you will be with me.
Mm.
So I do think that that's goes right. to show that it's like, it's not always specifically about these A, B's, and C's of this sinner's prayer, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I definitely had all of the things. They just
maybe didn't happen in that one specific moment.
Yeah, I definitely was sorrowful.
Yeah.
Once I, you know, went to church, I could feel conviction and stuff, because I know what I was, the life I was living was wrong. I just didn't know how to, you know, this is all new.
Mm-hmm.
It was all new for me. So I just know that I was getting convicted. And I was like, I know what I did was wrong, Lord. I'm so sorry.
So how did this translate, like, once you go back home? Because you said that your family was not saved. So, like, how did you see, how did this all fit, I guess? Like, was it hard when you were, like, living at home? With this new mindset?
I definitely, certain things I was able to pick up on of like, this is not right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when the Lord opens your eyes, obviously, I didn't know everything when I got saved, but I knew certain things were not right anymore. So I guess the only way I could explain it is they definitely got to see a change from the psych ward to like, mm-hmm. I was like cloud nine, and the Lord took away like any gay thoughts I had. I like, no, like that lust was completely gone, and I was like, you know, completely, it was just gone. He took away my depression, and I haven't had a panic attack since I got saved. I mean, everybody gets anxiety. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like panic attack, like rocking on the floor. Like,
so do you think that your family attributed that to like the hospitalization made you better?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. So some of my family members said that, you know, this is just a phase. Yeah. That it's not going to last. Like,
it's a long phase.
Yeah, it's the longest phase I've ever had in my life. But they could definitely see a change. And I feel like it probably could have convicted them. Because I remember it being a conflict, especially with drinking and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I had a problem. My viewpoint changed on drinking. And they do drink. So that was, I don't know how else to answer.
Yeah.
Other than that.
Yeah. So since then, how have you seen God work, and how has your testimony been able to be effective for others?
Yeah, super cool, actually. So I just got saved, and then we went to church camp in the summer. And it was just a girls' meeting. And there was, like, somebody there to, like, talk. And I felt the Holy Spirit, like, come over me and was like, get that other woman off the stage and go give your testimony. Because I asked her, I was like, okay.
Wait, get the girl off the stage?
That was talking.
And you give yours?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, it was like a teacher or something, I forget. And he was like, just go up there and share. And I was like, okay. So I was like, hey, they're super, it was Pentecostal. So they're all about, like, if you have a feeling,
mm-hmm.
like, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's do it. And I was like, hey. So I just went up to her and I was like, hey, the Holy Spirit told me to come up here. And they're like, oh, for sure. And just like, she just sat down. And I was like, okay, Lord, what do I do now? And he was like, go ahead, tell them. And I was like, yeah, I struggled with homosexuality, self-harm, and like, depression and stuff. And I was like, he healed me of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I also watch porn, and I told him that too.
Yeah,
like so much porn. But I told him, I said, if God can set me free, then he can set you guys free too. And like, all these girls started bawling their eyes out, and like, it was crazy. It was like something out of a movie. It was really cool. And just like, there was like maybe 15 other girls, and all of them started crying and like opening up and like saying that they've been struggling with, and like none of them basically were saved.
Mm-hmm.
They're like just kids going to church camp.
Yeah.
They're like, I've had a problem with porn and like gay intrusive thoughts and like all this stuff. And they're like, basically through my testimony, they're like, I want God to do that for me.
Mm-hmm.
And like the surrender of their lives. Like, a couple of the girls and the other girls throughout that week ended up giving their life. So I feel like the testimony of, like, hey, I was once one way, but now I'm different. When people realize, oh, that can happen for me too. I don't have to be stuck in my sin. And he can accept me just as I am. Yeah, and then I share my testimony at that woman's breakfast or whatever. I don't know what it was called. And so I think it's been like a year or two since then, and somebody's grandma shared my testimony with their granddaughter, and like, she has been dealing with like an abusive boyfriend and stuff, and like, she's like, if Anna can, because she didn't believe that she was worth anything because of her past,
mm-hmm.
and her like past, you know, sins and stuff. And she didn't think that she deserved someone good. So, but when her grandma shared my testimony, she's like, oh, if Anna can, you know, find a good husband,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, like, she was one way and now she's different. So I can do that too. So I think that's why testimonies are so powerful, because you can see someone else and be like, oh, if God can do that for them, they could totally do it for me. Yeah. I'm not that bad.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But I think that's something that God used to, you know, change people's perspective on things.
So what encouragement would you give to someone who feels unworthy of God's forgiveness?
I don't know, because I feel like it's almost like I don't know why somebody would think that the creator of the universe, who came and died just to take your sins, couldn't do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
That just makes no sense to me. Like, he came for you and died for you, for your sin that you're in right now, or that you're doing, or you're thinking about doing. So why wouldn't he accept you just as you are? Like, if he could do it for me, he can do it for you. Like, he can do it for anyone.
Yeah.
That was the whole point of the cross.
Right.
Did I answer that right?
Yeah. I just was curious.
Mm. Yeah. And you're never too far gone, no matter what you've done, even some messed up stuff. Like, he can take it on. Like, he got whipped for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He got nails for it.
Yeah, and I know we talked about this a long time ago, too, before, just in a different conversation. But, you know, a lot of people, I feel like it's easy to, like, we acknowledge that, yeah, he, you know, God split the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, spoke earth into existence. And, like, he did all these miracles and he did all these things. And then it's, but we like limit him to stuff like this when it's like he literally spoke, he spoke a universe into existence. So why do we feel like he is unable to forgive us?
I almost feel like, I don't know what the word would be, but it's like self-centered almost to think that he couldn't do it for you.
It's like pride in a different way.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it.
But like a different form of pride.
Yeah. Like, oh, he can do it for them, but definitely not for me.
Right.
I just don't think you know.
As me.
Yeah. I just don't think you know how big God is.
Yeah. So looking back, what amazes you most about God's work in your life?
The first thing that comes to mind is his transforming power that he has. Like, looking back, I can't even believe I used to be that way.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane to me. Like, he completely transformed my brain. Everything I thought, like, before I was saved, for example, I thought abortion was whatever. Like, it was neither, like, you could get one, you couldn't. I didn't care.
Yeah.
But now that he's opened my eyes that those are, you know, innocent children, like, protect them. Like, it's completely changed. And just the way that he can change your mind on things and show you the light, that amazes me. Oh, and also him dying. That amazes me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and I think that the transformation is cool. I mean, I've known you for, I don't know, how long have I known you?
Probably 7 years.
Wow. Yeah, because I'm thinking, well, for those of you who are listening and don't know, Anna married my cousin Nicholas.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom's sister, it's her son.
Mm-hmm.
And Anna came to camp where I was a counselor and she was in my cabin. So I think even just looking back on that, like, I didn't know you super, super well.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen like a lot of growth too. So I think it's cool that I've been able to, because you are a few years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just cool that I've been able to see you grow through all of that too.
Yeah, because I was newly saved.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It hadn't even been.
Right. Like, I remember, I don't even know how we got on that conversation when we were doing our one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, I don't even know, maybe I misunderstood you saying this, but I remember you being like, I don't see like why I need to go to church or something. You said something about church specifically. And I was like, well, you know, we should go to church. And but obviously, like, you wouldn't have even known that much about it. I don't even know if I would have known you super well. And I don't remember the context of what we were talking about. I just remember you saying, like, that you didn't really understand the importance of it. And so obviously now I know that.
It was probably just,
I think you just genuinely didn't know.
was probably just about chapel at that one place,
Maybe.
because I did not like it.
I don't remember.
Like,
I don't remember if it was that or if we were
I
talking
just
about.
don't
I was
understand.
thinking we were talking about
Oh.
where we were attending at the time.
Ooh.
So,
Hot topic.
yeah. But I think obviously we understand now that
I don't remember that, but
you don't remember
probably.
that. That's the only thing that I remember because I remember going, oh my gosh, I don't know if I want my cousin marrying this person.
Nuh-uh.
I barely knew you and yeah. Like I barely knew you at the time. So it was like funny just 'cause you got okay, think about this too though. When you first get saved and you don't understand like all the different denominations and stuff, like it's easy to question like so many things. And I remember you having like a lot of questions, which were totally valid. Totally good questions, just in general, you know, like why do we dress up to church and stuff like that, which is, I think those are good questions to ask. But I remember going, oh my goodness, Nick, what are you? But I didn't know you, like barely from Adam at the time. Like all I knew is that
Yeah, I don't
you and
know.
Nick were, anyway, I say all of that to say, it's just, I've enjoyed seeing you grow too, and Nick,
No,
because I've grown up with Nick
he's
my whole
definitely grown,
life.
for
So
sure.
I think it's cool. A testament to the transformative.
It keeps happening. It
Yeah.
keeps going.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, is there anything else that you want to add?
That's about it.
Or anything for any listeners that you would like to say maybe to someone who's like not sure if they're saved or just any other scripture or anything that you
One
want to
thing I
add?
always think about when I'm rerunning like episodes in my head, I'm like, I love that Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. And I believe that that's true right now. And whoever has ears to hear, let them hear, like, that Jesus can save and he does save. And don't stop the Holy Spirit just because you have certain questions that aren't answered. Like, be open-minded, truly, and you will see, like, if you seek after him, you will find him. Like, so that's about the only thing I would have to say to that.
Yeah. There's tons of resources now available for everybody. I mean, now there's so many churches on live
I
stream.
mean,
There's
honestly,
TikTok.
shout out to Cliff Connectly. Like, he's so
Cliff, Anna is your number one fan. So if you hear
Oh,
this,
Hannah is, okay, first of
I
all,
like him too, but
I was about to say, maybe I like him a little bit more than and Stuart. Shout out to Stuart.
Stuart, yeah, you're a
He's
good guy
awesome.
too.
We really like you guys.
Yeah, maybe one day we can collab.
Yeah, just let us know.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed hearing Anna's testimony. In this next episode, it will be my turn to be in the hot seat. So we hope you guys have a good rest of your day.